Okay, the Middle Ages. The Classical Age is followed by a period we loosely refer to as the Middle Ages, medieval times, or my personal favorite, the Dark Ages. What we're really referring to here is the period between the end of the influence of the Roman Empire over the West and the beginning of the Renaissance, when the West is reborn, hence Middle. This view of history concentrates on great civilizations as compared to, say, everyday life. There was plenty of everyday life in the West during this period, but not much great civilization. In Europe, there was no longer a central civic body of organization like the Roman Empire, which kept everybody loosely federated through military force and alliances and geographically connected through a network of roads, the ruins of which are still visible throughout Europe and even England. The great civilization of the moment, Islam, while it did make some inroads into Europe, was primarily somewhere else, based on traditions other than the Greco-Roman. In Europe, this is a period of small warlords and feudalism, of small civic units evolving into nations. The underlying historical narrative is diverse and not germane to our discussion, with the exception of thought and architecture, which we'll discuss briefly. While the Middle Ages may be a period devoid of central government, it nonetheless does have one extremely important narrative cultural determinant, and that's Christianity. It is not so much that everyone has suddenly become a Christian, the ongoing conversion of the West lasts way beyond the Renaissance, but enough of them do, and religion, as we have seen, is a prime force. In thought, there are two main streams. The religious one is faith. The secular one is reason. Plato and his cronies used reason to attempt to understand the universe. Augustine and his successors used faith. Not that they didn't apply reason to their faith, but they knew that reason could only go so far, and their belief in God and their drive for salvation were prioritized above their need to reason things out. So let's give this period another name. Not medieval times, not the Dark Ages. We'll call it the Age of Faith. And we're not the first ones to do that, which is too bad because it's really catchy. The Age of Faith. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. Sooner or later, we're going to arrive at the Age of Reason. Architecture, as we have said, is a commanding expression of the narrative of a culture because of its demands on resources. In the Age of Faith, the greatest works of architecture were cathedrals. The only other major works were castles, which occasionally have great similarity to cathedrals, and often great dissimilarities, but we'll stick to cathedrals because, for the most part, their story is more interesting. Now think about Notre Dame de Paris. It was built on an existing structure from 1160 to 1250, almost 100 years, not to mention another subsequent 100 years of improvements after 1250. No one who designed or planned or worked on the cathedral when it started was alive when it finished. This was not a work of man, as far as the narrative is concerned. It was a work of God. The point of a great church is to provide a public space for communication with the spiritual. A sense of space, of heaven, of the ethereal, makes that communication seem that much closer, at least to Christians. The great architects following the Roman Empire learned a few improvements on the dome and also learned how to prop up walls and hold up roofs in other ways. All these buildings are masonry, remember, which means rock heavy. Strong walls are needed, or strong supports for the walls. Propping up the walls meant buttresses holding up the walls to take the stress of the roof away from the walls and divert it even further. So a buttressed wall can be higher and the roof bigger, and inside the building there is that much more space, especially up where God is. Everything about a medieval church is there to inspire awe, and it still does even today. Many of the great cathedrals have not yet fallen down. The narrative of the cathedral is not merely the ephemeral sense of space and spirit. There are the deliberate religious narratives of statuary and stained glass and painted walls. Often the shape of the building itself tells a story. Many a classic cathedral is cruciform. That is, in the shape of a cross, and that's not an accident. Which means that everything about the cathedral, its size and shape and decoration, is part of the narrative of the Age of Faith. Okay, the Renaissance. Without going into too much cause and effect, the Dark Ages ended, and we have a rebirth of Western civilization, which is called the Rebirth. Well, actually, it's not. Even though that's what it was, many scholars found that this was less than mellifluous, so they christened it the Renaissance, which sounds so much nicer because it's French. Damn Frenchies. A couple of key things are happening at this time. Countries are being formed from old tribal groups, warlords, feudalistic arrangements. Vast trade routes have been opened up both on land and sea, and Italy becomes central to Western civilization again, at least partly because of its position on those trade routes. The Pope is probably the strongest monarch of the age. After going through hell in a handbasket, including a period of feuding multiple papistries, there is a rediscovery of old knowledge, scientific, philosophic, historical, that has been closeted during the Age of Faith, although the Renaissance is the apotheosis of that age, and classical literature and forms and studies return with a vengeance. Thanks to Gutenberg and movable type, which are much more effective than monks copying by hand in unmovable monasteries, we get easily reproducible books to share the ideas of the time. In art, we have the accumulation of the classical in the sculpture of the time. Think Michelangelo, his David, Moses, the Pietà. Incredible sculptures. We also get painting, or at least painting that we can still see. Think Michelangelo, the Sistine Chapel. Before long, we'll have paintings on canvases that we can move from place to place. Painters at this time master such things as perspective, so now there's a sense of three-dimensional depth. They master the craft of oil paint mixing so that their work lasts and looks realistic. They invent composition, the sense of putting the elements of a painting together in such a way as to be classically pleasing to the eye. Of course, all art is still about gods and heroes. No, I'm sorry about that, but enjoy it while it lasts, because it's about to come to an end. The Age of Faith is about to become the Age of Reason.